If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, we'll be there. We'll take an interesting route to get there, but I promise we'll get there at one point. I did want to say to the Boone family what a blessing it was yesterday to be a part of that. I was talking to Caleb Clanton afterwards, and we were talking about how it was really a moving experience for us to just be a part of that. And it reminded me of the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, where he said, "A good name is better than fine perfume. And the day of death is better than the day of birth. And it's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, because death is the destiny of every person, and the living should take it to heart." And so with that, I say, what a good name, like fine perfume, we got to think about yesterday. I wanted to tell the church also to remind you that after the service today, if you'd like to be a part of something that's happening over lunch, we're calling it a lunch and learn, I'll be giving you over about an hour kind of a simple explanation from our study of Romans back in the fall of Calvinism and what the tulip is all about. I've titled the lesson, "Tiptoeing Through the Tulip." And I'll tell you a little bit about that, but I'll also tell you what I love about Calvinism, what I've borrowed from it that's been very helpful in my life. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, you'll grab a lunch and we'll meet in there, and I'll hope to get us out by 12:30 or just a little bit after that today. But let's pray and we'll jump into the message of the hour. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We believe you're all to us. And we thank you that you are the God of all comfort, who comforts us with a comfort that we can share with others. And we pray this day we might ponder what that means. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. So we're in a series, we're calling it One Another Christianity. And it's a reminder that we can't just live our lives on Zoom. We've got to be people who actually engage with one another. We need to be people who care about one another, who spend time together. And so we're looking at the one another passages in the New Testament. The word for one another is allelon, and I think I've told you that in 94 verses, one another is mentioned 100 times. 47 of those are specifically how Christians should interact with one another. And the person who talked most about one another is the Apostle Paul. And we'll be looking at a couple of passages from him today. But 2 weeks ago, I tried to remind you that if you get this one right, all the rest will fall into place. Remember the Apostle John, who was a hothead as a young man, but who grows to be the Apostle of Love, says, "Love one another. If you get this right, you have done the Lord's command." And so we understand that however we respond to each other, we have got to be people who are known for our love for one another. And one of the things I constantly tell people about this church is that there's more love per square inch here than anywhere I've ever been. I love this church. I love the people of this church. And I tell people all the time, it's the best group of elders I've ever worked with, because there's not a mean one in the bunch. And I'm so grateful for that. We've got to be people who love one another. Jesus commanded that we love one another as he showed us how. And he says, all people will know that we're his disciples by the way we love one another. And so this image, this watercolor of Jesus washing the disciples' feet reminds us of this call that we have to love one another. And what we discover as we strive to love one another is that that love will then flow out of us in different ways, depending on what the circumstance requires. So sometimes we'll forgive one another, like we talked about last week. Today, we'll think about how do we comfort one another. And as we think about how do we comfort one another, I wanted us to notice this passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Julio read it for us at communion today. It says, we believe We believe Christ died. We believe Christ rose. We believe Christ is coming again. We believe we will meet him in the air and we will be with him forever. And then he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another, you'll notice, kind of bleeds over into some other of the one another's as well. Building up one another, caring for one another, bearing one another's burdens. And so we'll think about what does it mean to comfort one another today. And I wanted to give you a simple roadmap of where we're going. So parents, if you're worried about how long is this message going to take, just follow the roadmap. And you'll have a really good idea of how this one's going to unfold. We're going to define comfort, then we're going to describe comfort, and then we're going to talk about providing comfort. And so first we want to define comfort. And I think you might be surprised to find out what the word for comfort actually is. It's parakaleo. It might be a word that you've kind of heard a root of before. It means to exhort, to comfort, or to encourage. And what I want you to remember about parakaleo or about comfort is what I've underlined there at the bottom. Comfort, encourage, console. C-E-C. Comfort, encourage, console. Can you say that with me? Comfort, encourage, console. One more time. Comfort, encourage, console. That's what the word parakaleo is all about. Now, think about how many times Paul wrote parakaleo in these two verses. I mean, he's just writing it over and over again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Over and over, he talks about this comfort, this encouragement, this consoling that we receive from God, the God of all comfort, and then we share with other people. He comforts us so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Now, what many of you are thinking is, I've heard that word parakaleo before. And you're right, because there's a word that's from the same root as it. It's called paraclete. Remember that? It's not a football term, paracletes. It's paraclete. And it was a word that was used to talk about the Holy Spirit as our advocate, as our helper, as our intercessor. You might remember that Jesus will call in John 14 through 16 this paraclete the comforter that I will send in my name. And so we begin to understand not only is God the God of all comfort, not only are we supposed to comfort, encourage, and console based upon the comfort that we have received from God, but God sends his Holy Spirit, the paraclete, to help us by being the comforter in our life as well. And so here in John 14, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is sent to help us in our times of great need. And so I've defined the word comfort for you. Comfort, encourage, console. It's the comfort that comes from the God of all comfort. It's given to us through the Holy Spirit so that we can comfort, encourage, and console other people. So now we begin to think about, well, what does it look like to comfort someone else? It's not really that hard, is it? How do we describe comfort? Well, one day, somebody came to Jesus and asked him a question. And as soon as he asked the question, Jesus turned it on him. Because he said, what's the greatest command? And Jesus says, well, you recite it every time you go to synagogue. What is it that you say? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you're right. That's exactly what the greatest commandment is. And so then this scribe was trying to figure out how does he ask a more profound question. And so he asked, well, who is our neighbor? And Jesus decides to tell a story. You remember the story? There's a man headed from Jerusalem to Jericho. We call that the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And as he's passing through the Valley of the Shadow of Death, robbers come out of one of the caves. They beat him up. They strip him. And they leave him for dead. Now, that's very significant. If you think about Canterbury Tales, you may have had to read that when you were in college in an English class. You might remember they spend an obsessive amount of time. I hope that's okay for me to say, Denny. A lot of time explaining what everybody's wearing, how they carry. The introduction is just big, long descriptions of all the characters in Canterbury Tales. Well, why is that so important? Well, because once you've stripped somebody and you've left them for dead, you really have no way of knowing who they are. They become a generic person in need. When you come to them, are they Jew? Are they Gentile? Are they rich? Are they poor? Are they one of us? Are they not one of us? And Jesus says, all of those identifying markers that might draw you in to identify with this person are gone. This is just a generic person in need, and the question is, what will you do? And you might remember the first person who passes by is a priest, who decides not to get involved. And then next a Levite, comes, and probably taking his cues from the preacher doesn't get involved either. And then Jesus tells about a Samaritan, a half-breed, who as he journeyed along saw him and had compassion upon him and went to take care of the wounds, pouring in oil and wine, putting him on his beast, took him to an inn and cared, comfort, encouraged, consoled. This Samaritan traveler was the one who showed compassion. This Samaritan traveler was the one who was a neighbor. Jesus said, who was neighborly to this person? And the expert in the law says, the one who showed mercy. Go and do likewise. So, if we're going to describe comfort, it's showing mercy to people we find in need. It's showing mercy to people we find in need. How do we show mercy? We comfort, we encourage, we consult. The people that we find in need. Okay, so I've defined comfort. I've described what comfort looks like. Now let's ask a question. How can we provide comfort? How can we? Can you think about that for a minute? What are the ways that you can provide comfort? Well, let's keep this message simple, right? So let's just come up with three. We can comfort people by our presence. You know, one of the great presents that you can show people is your presence. Did you catch that? Often, your present is your presence, showing up. Psalm 23, David is writing, and he's thinking about these sheep who just being near the shepherd, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. There's a time when people just need to look up and see somebody is there. And your presence can be a comfort. Showing up can be a comfort even when you don't know what to do. The second way that we can comfort is through our words. Through our words. That's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. After you've told people, after you've showed up, then remind people what we believe. Remind people of what we believe because you can actually comfort people with the words of God. And then last, we can comfort people by our actions. John will say, little children, let us not just love with our words and with our talk, but actually do something in deed and in truth. So, here's the simple message of the day. Comfort. encourage, console. How do you do it? When you see a need, you step up, you show mercy. You engage. You do unto others what you would have others do for you. And you do it by being present, by your words, and also by your deeds. And so, I want to close the message really quickly by talking to you about three tips I want to give you. Tips are when you take theory and you put it into practice. What would it look like for us to be people who really step forward to comfort one another? What would it look like for us to have a ministry of comfort to one another in this church, in our community, in our neighborhood? Well, here, I think I have three quick tips for you. Tip number one. You ready? Just show up. Turn to the person next to you and say, just show up. Just show up. Just show up. I saw this quote. The world is run by those who show up. Robert Johnson said that. But I erased Robert Johnson's name and I changed it just a little bit so that you'd understand. The world is impacted by those who show up. You can't make a difference sitting at home when you know of a need that you could address. And you know what? Your showing up might just mean picking up the phone and calling. It may not mean driving across town or driving around the world or whatever it would be. But you do something to be present. Because being present is so important. When we were talking about Jesus and loving one another, I took you to the upper room. And I showed you what the upper room looks like today. But then I reminded you, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, the upper room looked like this. It had a basin, it had a towel, it had a stool, but it had no one to be the servant who would wash feet. And what you remember is, no one stepped forward to wash feet except Jesus. And we've got to decide that being present sometimes means stepping into the situation no one else wants to step into. Befriending somebody that no one else befriends. Forgiving somebody that no one else wants to forgive. Restoring somebody that no one else wants to restore. It means rolling up our sleeves and getting involved like Jesus did when he stood up from the table. He was taking a stance of presence in the midst of a situation when no one else wanted to step forward. You might remember that Barnabas is called the encourager, the son of encouragement. And this is the moment when he looked at the apostle Paul and he realized no one will have anything to do with Paul. They've cut him out because he betrayed us for a long time and now he's claiming to be one of us. Is he safe? Is he not safe? And the person who stepped forward to risk himself to restore Paul to the rest by showing up was Barnabas. How about this story? Paul's on his way to Rome. He's been arrested and he has appealed to Caesar and he's traveling by that shipwreck. And you remember, he finally makes his way to the outskirts of Rome. And it tells us, so we came to the outskirts of Rome and the brothers and sisters there heard that we were coming. And they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was comforted. They heard Paul was coming. And they went out with their presence to be there for him. They couldn't take the chains off of him. They couldn't make an appeal to the Caesar. But they could stand beside him. They could be present for him. And their presence was a present that comforted him. Now you may be asking, how far away was the Forum of Appius and the three taverns? And so there you go. Some traveled 40 miles. Others 30. In order to walk those final miles with Paul as he made his way into Rome. Can you imagine what it would feel like to see a band of sisters and brothers who came to surround you and escort you into the city? Can you imagine what comfort that gave him to not be alone at this moment? So, just show up. Just show up. Number two, just speak up. One of the things I worry about with Christians today is that we're muted. Maybe it's because we're not spending enough time in our Bibles to have something to say. But we ought to be the kind of people that when we show up, we've got a word that we can remind people about. A word of comfort. A word of encouragement. A word that says, we believe. Because sometimes what people need to hear from us is, remember, we believe. This is what we believe. We believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And what we believe, quite frankly, is that that is something that we need to announce. You know, one of the things that I love about the Apostle Paul, this is a prison in Philippi. And I want you to picture what that prison looked like when Paul and Silas were in it. You remember it was about midnight? And everybody else is depressed and down. And what are Paul and Silas doing at midnight? They're singing songs about what they believe to be true. They are encouraging everyone else by their words. That's what Paul was trying to say in Ephesians chapter 5 when he said, be filled with the Spirit and speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Encourage each other by your words, by your songs. Understand that you are encouraging each other. Think about Paul in the eye of the storm. Remember, he was on his way to Rome, and the ship is about to break apart, and everyone else is afraid. And what does Paul do in the middle of the storm? He begins to praise God, and then he breaks bread and says, I know of one who will rescue us from this moment. And he announced what he believed, and he announced the power of the resurrection that is still available today. So, second tip, just speak up. And last, lift a burden. If you want to comfort one another, you got to show up, you got to speak up. But when there's a burden to be lifted, here's another visual of Jesus. When there's a burden to be lifted, step in and comfort by your deeds. Paul says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How do you lift the burden? Well, we see people who are carrying a heavy load, not a normal load, but a heavy load. What do we do to help them? How do we lift them up? How do we encourage them? How do we be present for them? We think about showing up, speaking up, and then lifting the burdens of others. Jesus was a burden bearer long before he carried the cross. And you know the stories. The scriptures are filled with them. Here's a paralyzed man with a withered hand. No one will help him. And Jesus steps forward and lifts his burden. Here's a woman caught in adultery, and Jesus steps forward and lifts her burden. Jesus talks to his disciples, and he says, the Pharisees, you should listen to what they say, but you shouldn't act like they do, because they tie heavy, burdensome loads on people, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger. We have to be people who lift the burdens of others and help set people free. That's what one another Christianity is all about. And so I want you to think about these three things today. To comfort one another, comfort, encourage, console. You got to show up. You got to speak up. And you got to lift the burden. That's what it means to comfort one another. This statue at Boys Town dates back to 1918. Boys Town was founded in 1917. And the story is told about a young boy named Howard Loomis who was abandoned by his mother. Howard had polio and wore a heavy leg brace. Walking was difficult for him, and soon several of the older boys were carrying Howard up and down the stairs. One day, Father Flanagan asked Reuben Granger, one of the older boys, if carrying Howard was hard. And Reuben replied, "He ain't heavy. He's my brother." And there's something about understanding comfort and comforting one another that what you will discover is there's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in showing up, speaking up, and lifting the burden of someone else, because what you're doing is putting yourself where Christ placed himself. And there's an incredible joy in that. 100 years later, they decided to erect a second statue. It looks like this. And it reminds us that we continue to carry one another's burdens as we progress, as we move forward. But I wanted to show you that our images really haven't changed in 2,000 years. To comfort is to wash the feet showing up. It's to remind people what we believe, speaking up. And it's to lift the burdens of others as Christ has done for us. I typed in the words show up, speak up, lift a burden. And this is the image that popped up from Google. I thought that was kind of interesting. It's a picture of Jesus showing up at the home of Mary and Martha after the death of Lazarus. Showing up, speaking up, lifting a burden. And now it's our turn. If we can minister to you today in any way, that's why we're here. We want to be one another. We want to be Christ for each other. We want to lift a burden. If we can help you in any way, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song together.